Hello. Thank you for joining us today. My name is Tom Lane with Sabbath Bible Study. We are nearing the end of the Feast of Tabernacles. During this feast, we've been studying what we must be doing or have done in our life and are working towards certain spiritual qualities. We considered that we have all had to repent and overcome. We know we must endure to the end to be saved. And over the last couple of days, we've looked at the role of faith and hope in our quest to be in the kingdom of God. All of those, and even more, is needed to be in the kingdom of God. But without love, all of these would be hollow. We can look to the love that God professed for the people of Israel as a place to start. When God loved Israel, it wasn't because Israel was the greatest or best. God loved Israel for reasons that may be as hard to quantify as why one person loves another. Because of that love that God had towards Israel, Israel had never-ending loyalty in their corner. God promised never-ending mercy to those who keep his commandments and destruction to those who do not. Deuteronomy 7 Verse 7. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people, for you were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand, and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him, and keep his commandments to a thousand generations, and repayeth them that hate him to their face, to destroy them. He will not be slack to him that hateth him, he will repay him to his face. Thou shalt therefore keep the commandments, and the statutes, and the judgments, which I command thee this day, to do them. The love that God has for Israel will come to a future place where Israel is no more plagued by evil and fear, and where sorrow is replaced in joy, and God will bring this about in part because of the love that He has for Israel. Zephaniah 3, verse 14. Sing, O daughter of Zion, shout, O Israel, be glad and rejoice with all the heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord hath taken away thy judgments, he hath cast out thine enemy, the King of Israel, even the Lord, is in the midst of thee, thou shalt not see evil any more. In that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, Fear thou not, and to Zion, let not thine hands be slack. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. I will gather them that are sorrowful for the solemn assembly, who are of thee to whom the reproach of it was a burden. Behold, at that time I will undo all that afflict thee, and I will save her that halteth, and gather her that was driven out. And I will get them praise and fame in every land where they have been put to shame. At that time will I bring you again, even in the time that I gather you, for I will make you a name and praise among all people of the earth, when I turn back your captivity before your eyes, saith the Lord. The prophet Amos tells us to seek good and not evil, so that we may live and so that God is with us. He warns of the day of the Lord, which he describes as a day of darkness and not light. That future time is described as a time of trouble where there is emotional pain. Amos 5, verse 14. Seek good and not evil, that you may live, and so the Lord, the God of hosts, shall be with you as you have spoken. Hate the evil and love the good, and establish judgment in the gate. It may be that the Lord God of hosts will be gracious unto the remnant of Joseph, Therefore the Lord, the God of hosts, the Lord, saith thus, Wailing shall be in all streets, and they shall say in all the highways, Alas, alas! And they shall call the husbandmen to mourning, and such as are skillful of lamentation to wailing. And in all vineyards shall be wailing, for I will pass through thee, saith the Lord. Woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord! To what end is it for you? The day of the Lord is darkness, and not light. If a man did flee from a lion, and a bear met him, or went into the house, and leaned his hand on the wall, and a serpent bit him, shall not the day of the Lord be darkness, and not light, even very dark, and no brightness in it? Because God loves us, we benefit from the loving kindness of God, which is better than the best parts of life as we know it. To show appreciation for the love that God has for us, we need to seek the kingdom of God and God's righteousness in everything we do. We do that in how we live our life, through prayer and meditation, and through love. Psalm 63, verse 1. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Because the loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed, and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after thee, thy right hand upholdeth me. But those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword, they shall be a portion for foxes. But the king shall rejoice in God, every one that sweareth by him shall glory. But the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. The love of God supplies our needs, and he is merciful to us, giving us forgiveness of sins. The God that we worship, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, is a merciful God, is a compassionate God, is a patient God, and is the God of truth. As we seek the righteousness of God, we seek these same qualities for ourselves. Psalm 86, verse 1. Bow down thine ear, O Lord, hear me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my soul, for I am holy. O thou my God, save thy servant that trusteth in thee. Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. Rejoice the soul of thy servant, for unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. For thou, Lord, art good, and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Give ear, O Lord, unto my prayer, and attend to the voice of my supplications. In the day of my trouble, I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me. Among the gods there is none like unto thee, O Lord, neither are there any works like unto thy works. All nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee, O Lord, and shall glorify thy name. For thou art great and doest wondrous things. Thou art God alone. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. I will praise thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify thy name forevermore. For great is thy mercy toward me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. O God, the proud are risen against me, and the assemblies of violent men have sought after my soul, and have not set thee before them. But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion, and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth. O turn unto me, and have mercy upon me. Give thy strength unto thy servant, and save the son of thine handmaid. Show me a token for good, that they which hate me may see it, and be ashamed, because thou, Lord, hast holpen me and comforted me. The love that God has for us and for the world is so great, he allowed his only begotten Son to die so that our sins could be forgiven. If we love God, we will live our life in a manner that is respectful of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, and we will live our life in the light of truth. John 3, verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. God's love for us goes beyond the type of love we would expect from people. Most people would not consider giving their life so that another person could live. And when they risk their life to potentially save another life, they will often only consider taking that action when the other person is worthy of that sacrifice. God showed his love to us when we were yet sinners. At the time of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, there was nothing we or any person could have done to make us worthy of that sacrifice. But because God allowed Jesus to die so that our sins could be forgiven, we have access to joy. Romans 5, verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Love is an integral part of the Ten Commandments, and yet aside from God's promise to show mercy to those who love God and keep his commandments, within the Ten Commandments, there is no direct command to love. The first four commandments do show us how to love God. If we love God, we keep his commandments. The last six commandments do show us how to love other people. When Jesus was challenged by one of the scribes on which is the first commandment of all, Jesus told him to love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. He then quickly added a second great commandment, to love your neighbor as yourself. When Jesus perceived the scribe understood what he was saying, as he told Jesus that loving God and other people was more than all the burnt offerings and sacrifices, Jesus told that scribe that he wasn't far from the kingdom of God. Mark 12, verse 28. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all. And Jesus answered him, The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. And the scribe said unto him, Well, Master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but he. And to love him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself, is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. And when Jesus saw that he had answered discreetly, he said unto him, Thou art not far from the kingdom of God. And no man after that durst ask him any question. Jesus gave his disciples a commandment to love each other as Jesus had loved them. They were to go out and bear much spiritual fruit, and they were to love one another. John 15, verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you, that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, that you love one another. When Jesus taught of love, he taught the disciples to think of love in ways that went beyond traditional ways of thinking. The disciples had heard that they should love their neighbors and hate their enemies, but Jesus taught them of the need to also love their enemies and use this far-reaching love as an example of becoming perfect like God the Father is perfect. Matthew 5, verse 43. You have heard that it hath been said, Thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Paul wrote to the Romans and told them their love must not be a phony love. The love that we must have to be in the kingdom of God cannot be a phony love, where in public we have great swelling words of love, and then when we get to the privacy of our homes, we are without love. The love that we must have to be in the kingdom of God will give us a closer bond to others who are also of the faith. The love that we must have will lead us to have the same level of concern and care for every person without playing favorites based on symbols of status that are important to people. The love that we must have will lead us to hate that which is evil and to live peaceably with others as much as possible, never being overcome by evil, but overcoming evil with good. Romans 12, verse 9. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. In honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink, for in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. In another place in his letter to the Romans, Paul told them not to withhold from governmental authorities what they are due, such as paying taxes. He also added that the only thing we should owe other people is to love each other, because when we love others, we fulfill the law. Romans 13, verse 1. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore ye must needs be subject not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. The Colossians were told to develop the spiritual qualities of mercy, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, tolerance, and forgiveness. Beyond these qualities, they were also told to have love, which is the bond of perfectness. Colossians 3, verse 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Peter warned that the end was near, and to be ready for the end, to watch and pray. He wrote that beyond watching and praying, we need to have fervent charity or love among ourselves, because love covers sins. 1 Peter 4, verse 7. But the end of all things is at hand. Be therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. In his first letter, John tells us that to be of God, to be in the kingdom of God, we must do righteousness and love others, as Jesus commanded. Hating others makes us no different than Cain, who killed Abel. 1 John 3, verse 10. In this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, brethren, that the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence towards God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments, and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son Jesus Christ, and love one another, as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandment dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us, by the Spirit which he hath given us. John also explains in that same letter that the love we must have stems not from our love towards God, but flows from the love that God has for all people, having sent his Son to be the sacrifice for the forgiveness of sins. If God loved us through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we must love one another. John also shows that perfect love casts out fear. If there is anything we fear, that means we have room to grow in the love that we have. 1 John 4, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God, and knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in the world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him, because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. Paul explained to the Galatians that a little leaven leavens all the dough. He showed how it's possible to have a misguided spiritual focus by forgetting through Jesus Christ we have a type of spiritual liberty, and that to maximize the benefit from that spiritual liberty, all that we do must come through faith, which works through love. The spiritual liberty that we have is not a reason to return to sin, but a reason to serve one another in love, knowing that loving others as we love ourselves fulfills the law. Galatians 5, verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. For we, through the Spirit, wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord that you will be none otherwise minded. But he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. I would they were even cut off which trouble you. For, brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. Love is essential if we want to be part of the kingdom of God. Without love, we are hollow. Paul wrote that even if he could speak with eloquence or speak like an angel, if he didn't have love, he would be hollow and would only be speaking to be noticed by others. He showed that even if he were given the gift to completely understand prophecy and all mysteries, that if he had knowledge of the Bible and faith so powerful that he could move mountains, without love, he would be nothing. He would be empty. He would be hollow. He added that even if he shared all of his physical possessions to benefit those in need, and gave his life in an act of ultimate sacrifice, if he didn't have love, there would be no benefit for him. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Without love, we are hollow. Without love, we are hollow Christians. We are hollow spiritually. Even though we may appear to be something, we are really nothing. Think of the disappointments we have all had in life. Those disappointments often come when we do not get something we expect. Think of an egg, and maybe the recent price of eggs where you live. You crack the egg open, expecting to find the egg yolk and egg white. But how would you feel if you cracked open an egg that had normal weight, only to find there was nothing inside? With the price of eggs, imagine how you would feel if you cracked the entire dozen eggs, all normal weight, only to find all with nothing inside. We wouldn't like the hollow eggs because most people have very little use for just eggshells. Think of the excitement you might feel if somebody brought you a gift box, wrapped beautifully in gift paper and with the most exquisite bows and ribbons. You might unwrap the gift box expecting to find a gift. Any gift would do. But imagine your disappointment, maybe even confusion, if that gift box were empty. You might be thinking, what was the point of the wrapped gift box? Because it didn't do much for you. Eggs and gift boxes are smaller matters. The faith that we have is of much greater consequence. If we would be frustrated by empty eggs and wrapped gift boxes, imagine how much more concerning it would be to God, our Father in heaven, if we have faith without love. We could be living our lives where the outward appearance of our faith is easy for everyone to see. But if we do not have love, what we believe is empty and hollow, because love fulfills the law, much like the egg yolk and egg white fills what is inside the eggshell, and the gift fills what is inside the wrapped gift box. So, what does love look like? Love will have tremendous patience. God has had to have tremendous patience with each of us, and so must we. Love doesn't get jealous when something good happens for somebody else. Love doesn't try to make the self look better than it is. Love will cause us to do what is expected and to look out for others. Love is not easily angered and does not respond with evil. Love does not celebrate sin and instead celebrates the truth. Love tolerates and believes. Love hopes and endures to the end. Love never fails. Just about everything else can and will fail, but love never will fail. Faith, hope, and love are just some of the qualities we have studied during this feast, but love is the greatest. Verse 4. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. If we want to be in the kingdom of God, we must have love. Yes, we will have repentance, and we will have overcome. We will even endure to the end. We'll have faith and we will have hope. And if we want to be in the kingdom of God, we must also have love. Because without love, as we seek first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness, everything we do will be like it's hollow. God wants us to be spiritually rich, bearing much spiritual fruit with love. If we want to be in the kingdom of God, we must have love. Thank you for joining us today. God willing, we'll get together tomorrow on the last great day. Until then, thank you for joining us today.